Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Monday Night Parsha class. I hope everyone is well. Here we go. Okay, so just a reminder, next week, I can't believe it, already starts July. I don't know where time goes. It's a very surreal feeling, but it's crazy. But next week is July, so it's a new month. Please, there are 5 classes in July and 4 in August. Tuesday class is the opposite, 4 in July and 5 in August. That's just how the calendar falls. So it's just a heads up reminder that there are 5 parsha classes in July, Be'ezrat Hashem. There will be 4 in August for Monday night. And for July, it's $60, please, for the 5 shiurim. Okay, so here's the problem. It's Chukas Balak in Chutzarth. I don't know, this is just really a joke, whose idea it was to put Chukas Balak together. But oh my gosh, you should know what a challenge this shiur was, besides the fact that I tell you how long it always takes me to prepare. It was such a challenge, because I simply could not decide what to teach. Chukas Balak together. Those are in-depth parshios enough when it's challenging when there's only one. Okay, parshas Chukas Perek Yutes is the Parah Aduma. Okay, first of all. Parah Chof in parshas Chukas tells us about the death of Miriam. As a result of the death of Miriam, there's a lack of water. The people complain against Moshe. He strikes the rock. We have the banishment of Moshe and Aaron from Eretz Yisrael. We have Aaron's death in Parshas Chukas. Then we have the attack of Amalek against the Bnei Yisrael. We have the Bnei Yisrael complaining. We have the fiery serpents. Moshe makes the copper serpent on a stick. We have the Bnei Yisrael starting to conquer lands. Okay, that's Chukas. Balak is Balak, the king of Moab, hires Bilam to curse the Jews. We have him going, the famous talking donkey. We have the beautiful nevuos of Balaam HaRasha. When he is unable to curse the Jews, he gives advice. And we have the sin of Baal Pa'ar. These two parshas together, it was really hard for me to prepare this year. I just want you to know that. It was very hard for me to prepare this year. What should we talk about? Should we talk about Paraduma? Should we talk about the death of Miriam? Should we talk about the lack of water? Should we talk about baby Riva? Should we talk about Aaron's death? Should we talk about the attack of Amalek, the Bnei Yisrael asking Edom to pass through the land? Should we talk about the fiery serpents? Should we talk about Bilam, Balak hiring Bilam, him not wanting to go, the famous talking donkey, the journey with Derech Shadar Motzelelech Bamalich Eroso, any lessons from all of his beautiful nevuos? Should we talk about Baal Pa'ar, Zimri and Cosby? Anyway, okay, fine. Hashem finally gave me some direction. And we're going to talk about a chelek of Parshas Chukas that I have personally never taught before. I'm going to venture to say that in general, it is a topic that is less studied because it is overshadowed by the more famous parts of the Parsha, if you will. So I hope you're going to find this very interesting. If you could please open up to Parshas Chukas. Parak Chof Al, but you should just know what a challenge. It was such a challenge. I'm like, Hashem, who puts Chukas Balak together? Just, it's a joke, obviously. We're in Chutzot. If we were in Eretz Yisrael, we wouldn't be together. But like, how am I supposed to choose what to focus on? A Chukas Balak together. Could you tell me how many times I said that? It was really hard for me. Okay. Turn to Parshas Chukas, Parak Chof Aleph, Pasuk Chof Aleph. Okay. So Paraduma is finished. By the way, oh, this is also very, very important. I forgot to say this. Paraduma and Perek Yutes is the bridge that takes us from year 2 to year 40. That's extremely important to know where we're holding now. Where are we holding? Year 40. After Parah Aduma, when Miriam dies, right in the beginning of Parah Chof, Miriam dies, it's year 40. Everyone from the generation of the Dor HaMidbar, Chet HaMeraglim, Yotzei Mitzrayim, they've all died. It's the first Rashi to Parah Chof. They're all dead. This is the second generation. So we go from Parshas Korach, the rebellion of Korach. Fast forward 38 years. The rebellion of Korach is in year 2. The Chumash tells us nothing about those 38 years in the desert. Parah Aduma, Rav Soloveitchik has a tremendous piece on Parah Aduma and why it's the bridge of 38 years. We don't know anything about 38 years. We're now in year 40. Miriam dies. There's no water. Moshe strikes the rock. He's not going into Eretz Yisrael. Aaron dies. Bnei Yisrael got a battle with Amalek. Bnei Yisrael requests permission from Edom to pass through their land. They sing a shira for the Be'er. The shira for the Be'er is also in Parshas Chukas. We're in year 40, going all the way to the end of Chukas. So please open up to Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, chapter 21, verse 21. These are very, perhaps by lay people, unfocused on Psukim. and they are some of them difficult to understand, and I don't know what possessed me of all the topics in these two parshiyos to choose this one. However, it's very interesting, it's challenging, it's something I, in all my years of teaching, have not delved into or taught before, so I hope you will enjoy it as well. Parachof Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Okay. Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim al Sichon Melech Avoi. Israel's in year 40. This is the second generation, what we call the Ba'i Aretz, those who are going to be entering into Eretz Yisrael. And they're starting, they're on the eastern side of the Yarden River, obviously, because Moshe's not crossing over to the Yarden River with them. And they're starting, oh, Rivka Engelson, I enjoyed your letter and family first. Thank you. And Erica Stralovitz, I enjoyed seeing you last night, even though it was not for Simcha. So I don't know if I could say, I enjoyed seeing you, but it should really only be at Simchas and not at difficult, painful situations. Parachafal Pasuchaval. Vayishach Yisrael Malachim al Sichon Melech Amori Demer. So Israel sends messengers to Sichon, the king of Amori, saying, we're going to do a number of Rashis. Rashi to Pasuchav Aleph. Well, I'm going to have to paraphrase some of the Rashis, or I'm never going to get through any of my material. But in a different place, the Shlichus says that Moshe said, look, listen, here in the Pasuk it says Israel sent messengers to Sichon. But Rashi quotes from Sefer Devarim in Parshas Devarim, where Moshe says that I sent messengers to Sichon. That Ashlach Malachim Mibirakeva. So who sent messengers? Did Moshe send the messengers, like Rashi quotes from Devarim? Or did Israel send messengers, like the Pasuk says right here? So Rashi says that these two psukim need each other to teach you that Moshe is the generation and that Moshe is Israel and Israel is Moshe. Shemoshe hu Yisrael, v'Yisrael hu Moshe. Lomar lecha, shenesiya dar hu kechol hadar ki anasi wakal. They're interdependent. It's the same thing. Saying Israel sent messengers is saying Moshe sent messengers. Saying Moshe sent messengers is saying Israel sent messengers. Why? Because Rashi says, Moshe hu Yisrael. Moshe is Israel. The Yisrael hu Moshe and Israel is Moshe. To teach you that the generation of the leader of the generation is everything. And he is the entire generation. So these two verses are not contradictory. They're actually complementary. So what were the messengers saying that they sent to Sichon Melech Amori? So this is a messenger to Sichon Melech Amori. Hayoshev b'chashban. Sichon, the king of Amori is dwelling in Cheshbon. Good. What is the request? Pasuk of Beis. E'ebra ba'artzecha. Let me cross through your land. Remember, they're going to Eretz Yisrael. So there are countries on the border of Eretz Yisrael. So they need to pass through these countries. Lo nite besada. We will not stray off into the field. Ubekerem, nor in a vineyard. Lo nishte mei be'er. We will not drink our own water. We will buy water from you. B'derech HaMelech Nedech, we will go on the highway. Ad Asher Naver Givulecha, we only want to pass through your land. We will not drink from our own water. We won't do anything. We won't go into the fields. We won't go into the vineyards. We just want to pass through on the highway. Okay? Rashi points out that they opened up with peace. Rashi says, Afal Pishalon Itztavu Luftorach Lem B'Sham, Bikshu Me'em Sham. Even though the Israelites did not have to request a peaceful resolution with Sichon Melech Amori, they did so. They opened up with Sham. In other words, Israel could have just gone and attacked Sichon Melech Amori. You're going to see that they do that. But no, they opened up with Sham. Can we please pass through your land? We won't trespass in your fields. We won't eat the grapes in your vineyard. We won't drink from our own water. We'll buy your water. We're going to go on the highway. We just want to cross through your land. V'lo nasan Sichon es Yisrael avor b'gvulo. Sichon did not give Israel permission to pass through its borders. Yes, of Sichon es kol amo. Sichon gathered his entire nation. V'yetzei likas Yisrael midbara. And Sichon, who's the king, gathers. So they say, no, your request is denied. He gathers his whole nation, and they go to meet Israel to the desert. Vayevo Yahatza, they come to Yahatz. Vayelachem Bisra, and they fight against Israel. So Rashi says, what's going on here? Rashi to Pasuk of Gimel says that all the kings of Canaan, listen to this, Sichon, you could say, is protecting the border of Canaan. They're not in Canaan yet. So you have Canaanite kings, and they don't want anyone passing through the territory of Amori to conquer their land, Canaan. So all the kings of Canaan, the Fisha call Machi Canaan, how you ma'ali no mas, all the kings of Canaan would pay a tax to King Sichon. Shahayu Shahaya Shomram, Shalo Yavu Alem Gyasos, that Sichon should ensure that no legions, no invading army should pass through. And Israel says, can I pass through your land? He says, my whole point, my whole tafkid is sitting here to guard in front of you. You say to me, you want to pass through? Those Canaanite kings are paying me to make sure that no one crosses through my land on the way to Canaan. You're asking me permission? Of course I'm not giving you permission. Rashi then tells us how powerful that even if Cheshbon, the city, was full of gnats, G-N-A-T-S, little flies, no one would have been able to conquer. In other words, it was such a strong city, even if it was being guarded by fleas, no one would be able to conquer. Furthermore, Sihon was such a powerful king, no one would be able to conquer him. All the more so that he was sitting in Cheshbon. So you have a strong city and a strong king. Furthermore, Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to be matriach on my children. Ma'ani matriach al b'nai kozos. I don't want it to be such a tircha for my children that they have to lay siege against each town. I'm going to put into the heart of the army to leave the cities and battle with Israel in the open fields. The enemy, Sihon's army, all gathered in one place, and there they fell. Israel went into the cities. There was no one to oppose them. There was nobody there except women and children, and Israel was able easily to conquer the land. So Hashem put into the heart of the enemy under Sichon Melech Amori, no, we're not letting Israel come. And they abandoned the cities. They all went out. That's what it says. They left their cities undefended. They went out to the desert to meet Israel. The cities were left undefended except for women and children. And after Israel smote the armies, they went in and they took cap. They destroyed the cities. Okay? Israel smote him, meaning Sihon and his army, by sword. And they took possession of his land. They took possession of the land from Ammon to Yabok to the children of Ammon. The border was very strong. So we see that Israel was successful in this battle. All they asked for was permission to pass through. Sihon says, my whole Baha'i, I'm here because all the kings of the region pay me a tax that no army should pass through my land on the way to Canaan. I'm going to let you go through. He comes out to greet them with his army to the desert. Israel kills all the men. When they go into the cities, there's no one to defend it except for the women and children. And Israel takes possession of the land. Israel took all of these cities. And Israel dwells. They took possession of the land in all the cities of the Amorites, in Cheshbon, and in all of its suburbs. Rashi says, so that's Benoseh, Kfarim Hasmuchim, the villages that surround Cheshbon. So they took possession of the land of the Amorites. They took possession of the city of Cheshbon, which is the city where Sihon, Melech Amori, dwelled in Cheshbon, and in all of its suburbs, surrounding villages, like Rashi says. Ki Cheshbon yir Sihon Melech Amori. Cheshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of Amori. But, whose city was it originally? V'hu nilcham b'melech Moav harishon. Ah, it was really territory that belonged to Moav, the first Moavite king. Sihon, the king of Amori, came along and took this territory from Moab. Borders are changing all the time. In our day and age, Putin decided that he wants a city of a part of the Ukraine, and he went and he invaded Ukraine. So that's what happened here. Sihon Melech Amori dwells in Cheshbon. Moab is really Cheshbon. Cheshbon really belonged to Moab. That's what the Pasuk tells you, Pasuk Chavav. Ki Cheshbon yir Sihon Melech Amori. Cheshbon is the city of Sihon, the king of Amori. V'hu nilcham b'melech Moab harishon. However, there was a previous battle, and that was with the first king of Moab, Vayikach as kol arzo. And Mori, Sihon, took the land from Moab, just like one country takes the land from another country. They decided to invade and they took this country. Miyado Arnon. So Sihon, the king of Amori, waged battle against Moab. They took territory from Moab. So this territory that Israel now took from Sihon originally belonged to who? Belonged to Moab. Fine, good. Pasuk of Zion. Al Cain, therefore, Yomru Hamoshim. Now we come up to something very poetic that seems very difficult. Al Cain, therefore, and there's a story. The Moshlim, those who, the poets, like from the word Mishle, Mashalim, those who say a Mashal, parable, the poets would therefore say, Bo'u Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon. I'm in Pasuk of Zion. I'm explaining everything very clearly. You need to be following in Chumash. If you're not following in Chumash, I have a feeling you're not going to know what's going on. Al Cain, therefore, Yomru HaMoshlim, the poets, those who give mashal and parables, say, Bo Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon, Tibona, let it be built, V'tikonein, let it be established, Ir Sihon, as a city of Sihon. Remember, who did it belong to? It used to belong to the kings of Moab. Along came Sichon Melech Amori, and he went to war against Moab, and he captured Cheshbon and all the cities there. Who comes along? Now the Israelites. Why? Because it's year 40, and they're going to Eretz Yisrael. And they say to Sichon, the king of Amori, we just want to pass through your land. We're not going to trespass. We're not going to steal anything. We're just going to go right through to Canaan. We're not going to do anything to you. He says no. He brings his army. They go to the desert to meet Israel, like we saw in the Psukim. He leaves the cities vulnerable. Israel smotes the army of Sichon. They go into the cities. It's not defended by anybody, some children and women, and they take possession. So imagine in your head, okay, so the Israelites are starting to really conquer territory. They're moving into these towns that have been won over. Who did they win them for? Sichon, from Sichon Melech Amori. After the war and after Israel takes possession of the cities, the Pasuk then tells you, wait, this really belonged to Moab. This was not Sichon's original territory. It was Moabite territory, but he took possession of the territory for Moab. And now we have like a little parenthesis, a little song, a little poetry. What did the poets of the time say? Al kein yamru ha-moshim, therefore the moshim, those who would give parables, would say, bo cheshbon, come to cheshbon, tibana, may it be built, v'tikonein, may it be established, ir Sichon, because it now became a city of Sichon. And Rashi says, Al Kain, about this, Al Oso Mechamashon Mechamim Sichon B'Moav. The poets would talk about this war, the war that Sichon fought against Moav. Who are the Moshim? Ah, Bilam Uba'ar. Bilam and his father Ba'ar were prophets, seers, speakers of parables, poetry. It was they who would speak about the war between Sichon Melech Amori and Moab. That's what Rashi exactly says. Rashi tells us that they would say, Bo Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon. Sichon was unable to conquer the land from the Moabites. Sichon went and hired Bilam. I'm telling you, Rashi to Pasuk of Zion. Sichon went and hired Bilam to curse the land. Sichon wants to take territory from Moab. Putin wants to take some territory from the Ukraine. He can't do it. He hires somebody to curse his enemy. Now he's successful. Bilam ben Ba'ar was hired by Sichon Melech Amori, who could not conquer the Moabite lands. Now we understand the beginning of Parshas Balak. Balak is the king of Moab. Balak already lost territory to Sichon Melech Amori because he's the king of Moab. But how did he lose territory to Sichon Melech Amori? Through the incantations, the curses, the charms of Bilam ben Ba'ar. Bilam ben Ba'ar put a curse on this territory of Moab, and then Sichon was able to capture it. So therefore, Balak hires Bilam. He knows that Bilam is successful. Why? Because look what happened to me. Look what happened to the territory of Moab. Therefore, he hires Bilam. Ha! Huh. Tibana v'sikonein, let it be built and established. Let what be built and established? Cheshbon, the city of Cheshbon. B'shem Sichon, in the name of Sichon, lios iro. Let Cheshbon be built and established. In the name of Sichon, it should be his city. Which it became. Okay, go back to the Pasuk. Pasuk chav hei, no, chav ches, just joking. Ki eish yatza'a mi Cheshbon, a fire has gone forth from Cheshbon. Rashi says when Sichon captured it, Lahava Mikiria Sichon, a flame from the city of Sichon, Achla Or Moav. It consumed the Ar of Moav, because remember, he took the territory from Moav. Ar was a region. It consumed the region of Moav. Baalei Bamos Arnon, the masters of Arnon's heights. Okay, so it's talking about different regions in the area that Sichon Melech Amori captured from Moav. Pasuk Chavtas, Oy lecha Moav, woe unto you Moav. Rashi says, why woe unto you Moav? Remember, Moav is the losers. And who's the winner? Who's the victor? Moav was defeated. Sichon Melech Amori was the victor. So why Oy lecha Moav, woe unto you Moav? So Rashi says, Shekilu es Moav, for Bilam and Ba'ar his father cursed Moav. So Yimasu biado. Oy lecha Moav, woe unto you Moav, that Bilam and his father Ba'ar cursed you, and therefore you were given over into the hands of Sichon. Oy lecha Moav, woe unto you Moav, because of this curse you became defeated. Avadita, you are lost. Am Kemosh, people of Kemosh. What's Kemosh? Rashi says the name of their avodah zarah. Oy lecha Moav, avadita, woe unto you Moav, because of the curse of Bilam you are lost to Sichon. Avadita, you are lost. Am Kemosh, the nation of Kemosh. What's Kemosh? Rashi says, shame Elohei Moav. Is the deity of Moab. Their deity could not save them. Nasan banav pleitim, he delivered his sons as fugitives. Uvinosav Bashvis and the daughters into captivity. Whose sons and daughters went into captivity? Moab. The Melech Amori Sichom. They went into captivity. They were defeated. And they went to Moab. To who? The Amorite king Sichom. Continues the parables, the soothsayers, the seers, the prophets, Bilam and Ba'ar. Vaniram Avad Cheshbon. Their sovereignty was lost from Cheshbon. Rashi says, what's Vaniram Avad? Malchus Shalahem. Their kingdom, the kingdom of Moab, was lost to Sichon, at least in this territory. Cheshbon ad Divon. Which territories did they lose? Cheshbon to Divon. Vanashim ad Nofach. We laid waste until Nofach, asher ad Medeva, which reaches to Medeva. So Rashi tells you that different territories, they were removed. Sovereignty of Moab is removed from Divon. Okay. And then the Torah just resumes. Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Hamori. Now, we should understand this whole passage. I don't know if you've ever studied this in depth before. I don't know if you ever paid attention to this before. This is as much Torah is. It's as much Torah as Zacharis Hashem as Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. It's as much the same Torah as Me'ez Kli Shashay Yidvenu Libo Tichu Es Chumasi. Same Torah. Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Hamori. Now that we understand some military history in the region, we just did a history course, History 101, into Moab and Moab and the Amorites and the cities around Cheshbon and its surrounding cities. Okay, and how were they successful? They continue to conquer territory. Moshe sends a spy to spy out Yazer. They captured its suburbs. They drove away the Amori that were there. Rashi says, these spies say, we're not making the same mistake as the first one. We're confident against Moshe, about Moshe's tefillos. They turn and they go up the way of the Bashan, and Og Melech HaBashan comes out to meet them, he and his entire nation. So they finish with Sichon Melech Amori Yoshe B'chashua. Now they have to contend with Og Melech HaBashan. Hashem says to Moshe, don't be afraid. I put him into your hand and all his nation and all his land, and you will be successful against Og Melech HaBashan. I'm in Pasuk Lamedad. Kashor Sichon L'Sichon Melech Amori. Just like you were successful against Og Melech HaBashan, you will also be successful. No, I'm sorry, I said it backwards. Just like you were successful against Sichon Melech HaAmori, conquering the land, so you will be successful against Og Melech HaBashan, who is also dwelling by Cheshbon. Okay, all these reasons. You know, I was just speaking to someone today in Eretz Yisrael, but something totally different. Someone I've not been in touch with in probably a number of decades. It was actually about a Shirach suggestion. Fine, and I was in touch with her. And she said, next... she's listened to some of my teachings on Torah Rimecha, Tehillim. Anyway, she said, she's also a licensed tour guide. So she said to me just today, she said her son brought to her attention an amazing sefer that tells you, whenever Eretz Yisrael is listed in the Parashios, it tells you, it shows you maps and the geography of where they we're speaking about. So every parsha, when there's geography, this sefer, she sent me a picture of the cover of the sefer. I would surmise, I don't know if you could get it in Chatzarts. It's a Hebrew language sefer. I told her maybe next time, Be'ezer Hashem, Eretz Yisrael. And it delineates where all the territory that's discussed in the parshas. I think it would be just fascinating. I think it would be incredible for this parsha, because it would really highlight exactly where we're talking about. We could see with our own eyes which land they conquered and what we're speaking about. Okay, anyway... Pasuk Lamed Hey, and they smote Og and his children and his nation. There was nobody left, and they also inhabited their land. Vayishu b'nei Yisrael, and the children of Israel journeyed. Vayachnu b'arves Moav. They camped in the plains of Moav, which is the last place they're going to be, where Moshe says his nevuah from at the end of his life. Me'ever liyardin yirecho. Okay, fascinating. So you see that actually Israel was going around conquering lands. They were conquering military lands and portions surrounding Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to begin by quoting from Rav Salvechik, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways." Actually, commentary to Eichan Tisha B'Av and the Kinos. But he does have one piece here on these territories that Israel was conquering. Okay. By the way, says Rav Salvechik, a quote from "The Lord is righteous in all his ways," page 64. "It is very peculiar and very strange," says the Rav. "Almost frightening. A little over 1900 years after Churban Beit HaMikdash, Jewish boys are fighting their enemies in the same places we read as we approach Tisha B'Av." He quotes from Sefer Devarim, because in Parashas Devarim, which is always read Erev Tisha B'Av, Moshe recounts these battles. But the battles happened here. It is very, very peculiar and very strange, almost frightening, that a little over 1900 years after Churban Beis HaMikdash, Jewish boys are fighting their enemies in the same places we read about in Devarim before Tisha B'Av. Moshe tells us about the conquest of Sihon Melech HaAmori and Og Melech HaBashan. And the Rav says, where was this territory? Territory is exactly in what today is called the Golan Heights. So I'm bringing this to you because I do not have that sefer that that woman told me. But I went to elementary and high school with her and Michala with her. So I'm going back decades. I haven't been in touch with her for decades. There was a shidduch suggestion, whatever. It was very nice to reconnect. But she just told me about the sefer and how incredible it would be to see. But the Rav says, which territories are these? What is the territory of Sichon Melech HaAmori and Og Melech HaBashan? Territory is exactly in what today is called the Golan Heights. Right, so that we know where it is. And many of us, I think, have been to the Golan Heights. It is very strange that history should make a leap of more than 1900 years. You think it's strange that Parshas Chukas makes a leap of 38 years from year 2 in Korach to year 40 in Parachav when Miriam dies? No, it's even stranger, says the Rav, that history should make a leap of more than 1900 years and come back to the same spot where Moshe defeated Og. And where Moshe read Shirat HaZinu and Vizos HaBracha, that's what it ends with saying there in Arvos Moav. And I told you that that's where the Torah ends. That's where Moshe is going to give his famous book of Devarim. This is where Moshe read Shirat HaZinu, what we call today the Golan Heights, and Vizos HaBracha, where the Bnei Yisrael were about to march into Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav, we are still marching. We have to face opposition, whether Sichon or Arafat. Quote, what difference does it make? It's only a change of names. The events are the same. So I thought this was very moving. It actually gives me chills when I read it, even though I actually obviously prepared the shiur ahead of time. But I think it's so interesting because you see how the Torah is so profound and relevant and continues throughout the generations. So the Rav is saying that the battles that they had to fight in Ivrei Yarden, which were in what is today the Golan Heights, the places where they stood and prayed for success against their enemies, are the very places today that our boys are fighting, says Rav Soloveitchik. They're about to march into Eretz Yisrael. This is from the same spot where Moshe defeated Og, where Moshe said Shiras Hazinu, where Moshe said Vizos HaBracha. We are still marching. We still have to face an opposition, whether Sichon or Arafat. What difference does it make? It's only a change of names. The events are the same. So I thought that that was extremely, extremely interesting. Okay. There is a very hashkafic vort on Pasuk Chav Zayin that I saw brought down in numerous places when I was preparing this year. So even though I closed my chumash, please open up to Perichav Av Pasuk Chav Zayin again. So we just had a history lesson and we did a little geography. Sometimes they learn about the French Revolution, the Havdil, and the American Revolution, and I don't know, the fight for independence. So we just learned some ancient history of wars that happened thousands of years ago. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Al Kain, therefore, Yomru Hamoshlim, the poets, those who give mashalim, like Mishlei Shlomo ben David, Melech Yisrael. Even today we talk about a mashal and a nimshal. Al Kain, therefore, Yomru Hamoshlim, let the Moshlim say, Bo Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon, Tibana, V'tikonein, Ir Sichon. Let it be built, and let it be established, the city of Sichon. I don't know which order to do this. Tell you the var first or take you to the Gemara first. Okay? Let's go to the Gemara first. I posted it very late. I'm sorry. It was posted on your on the chat. Just late. The Gemara expounds upon this entire phrase. What is this phrase speaking about? So I'm going to screen share the handout. Let me just find where it is. So many Kanayin Harash here. I'm open. 1 second. Holy moly. Where's the handout? If I could find it. Here, I found it. Okay. Let me just make it bigger so you could see. Okay, this is the way. You must keep your chumash open. You must keep your chumash open. Also. Okay, could you see that we are Masechas Bava Basra? Yes, you can. Thank you very much. Okay, this is a difficult piece of Gemara. I obviously did not prepare from here. Here's my Gemara. Let's go with footnotes. So I need to use this, even though, yes, I prepared, and I still need to use this. You must have your Chumash also. The Gemara is expounding upon in a very different way. We just did the geography and the military victory and what Israel is doing. The Gemara is teaching us something very, very different about the following psukim. Or you need your Chumash and the Gemara that's in front of us. We begin in Ayin Ches Amud Beis Amasachas Bava Basra. Okay. Let's look inside the Chumash. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Al Kein Yamu HaMoslim, therefore, those who give Mashalim, the poets say, Bau Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon, Tibana V'tikonein Ir Sichon. You should understand the military history already. Let it be built and established as a city of Sichon. That makes sense, because Cheshbon went from the hands of Moab to the hands of Sichon. By who? Moshalim. Who are the Moshalim? Bilam and Baor, his father. Ki Eish Yatza mi Cheshbon, a fire went out from the city of Cheshbon. Lahava, a flame mi Kiryas Sichon, from the city of Sichon. Achla Ar Moab, it consumed Ar of Moab, another region of Moab that they consumed. Baale Bamos Arnon, the masters of Arnon's heights. Skip to Pasuk Lamed. Vaniram Avad Cheshbon, the sovereignty was lost from Cheshbon. Ad Divon, until it was removed to Divon, removed from Divon. These are the territories that were removed from Moab and given to Sichon. Manashim ad Nofach, we laid waste until Nofach. Asher ad Medeva, until Medeva. And then Israel dwells in the lands of Amori. Okay, let us look now at this Gemara together. I'm putting it on the screen in case I know I sent it late. You could look on your own screen, it's on your WhatsApp, whatever. We're going to see what the Gemara has to say, and this is very, very hashkafic. Okay? Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ma in dichtiv, what does it mean? Al kein yamru hamoshtim. Therefore, let the poets, the seers, those who give mashalim, say, I need to use my art scroll, because there are footnotes I need to tell you as well. Okay? What does it mean? Al kein yamru hamoshtim. Art scroll footnote. Oh, it's a very long footnote. One second. The poets. The footnote first quotes all these psukim, which we just looked at. Who are the poets, the Moshlim, who speak about this war? The poets were the soothsayers, Bilam and his father Baor. They foretold, through in these words, Sichon's victory over Moab. So this was a prophecy almost of Bilam and his father Baor. They foretold, through some degree of nevuah and incantations, that Sichon would win over Moab. Why, however, does the Torah record this? Maybe that's what you're thinking. Why is this written down? Who cares? This is a battle between Sichon Melech Amori, the territory of Moab, based on a prophecy of Bilam ben Baor. What does this have to do with me? Why does the Torah record this? If you want to tell me, Avram did lech chamer tzcha gvaldik. You want to tell me about Yaakov's famous dream, beautiful. You want to tell me about Yosef and his rulership and how he got there. Okay, I understand. The Israelites in Egypt, Avada Mayinu, Par Mitzrayim, who cares? Why does the Torah record this? It cannot be that the Torah does so to teach us these territories of Ammon and Moab became accessible to the Israelites through Sichon's conquest. That has already been taught us in the previous Pasuk. In other words, the question is, why does the Torah record not about the battle, but the mashal, the parable, the soothsaying of Bilam ben Baor? Who cares what Bilam said? Why do you have these four psukim here telling me that Bilam used to say, Al kein ba'u cheshbon? The inclusion of these verses indicates they are to be expounded. Chazal realized that these psukim cannot be here simply to tell us. It's not like Bilam's prophecy in Parshas Balak when he spoke nevuas about Klai Yisrael, Matov v'alecha Yaakov. This isn't like the prophecies of Bilam that have to do with Klai Yisrael. Why would these incantations that Bilam and his father Baor used to say about this war be included? It indicates it must be they're meant to be expounded. And Rav Shmuel does so in the form of a homily. Homily? Am I saying the word right? Homiletic interpretation. Concerning the reward that awaits the righteous and the punishment to visit it upon the wicked. That's the Rashbam. We're going to learn now about the reward that comes to the righteous, tzaddikim, and the punishment that comes to the wicked. I forgot to check if this is worth, this is, yeah, okay, fine. Fine. Okay, so now let's go to the Gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So in other words, the question of the Gemara is, why is this here? This foretelling of Bilam and his father Baor in these poetic phrases about the conquest of this territory. It must be. We're meant to expand upon them, and there has to be a homiletic interpretation, the Gemara says, or these verses will not simply be included. Because who cares what they said about the victory of Sichon over the territory of Moab? Okay. Ma'i dichtiv, therefore, the Gemara says, what does it mean, al-kein yomu ha-moshlim? Therefore, the soothsayers say, ha-moshlim elu ha-moshlim b'yitzram. This refers to those who rule over their yetzer hara. Ah, al kein yamru ha-moshlim, therefore those who are gibur ha-kovishus yitzro, the ones who are successful in ruling over their yetzer hara, bo'u cheshbon, what do they say? Bo'u unichashev cheshbonu she'olam. We have to make calculations, say the tzaddikim, who are in us, who are a gibur ha-kovishus yitzro. We must make calculations of the world. Hafseid mitzvah kineged schara, uschara veiro kineged avseida. We have to weigh out the loss that comes to keeping a mitzvah. What does that mean? For example, the cost of a lulav and esrog. Okay, it costs money. So I have to weigh out the loss that comes from a mitzvah, meaning the monetary loss, kineged schara. What is the reward for taking the arba minim? It can't be calculated. So the lulav and esrog set costs $150 or $175 or however much money you spend. That's the loss, the financial loss that comes from doing a mitzvah. But weigh that kineged schara. In Olam Haba, it's infinite, the reward. You can't calculate the reward. On the other hand, Ushar Aveira Kenegat Havseda, the reward of Aveira, what's the reward of Aveira? In the moment, it might feel good to, I don't know, the cheeseburger tastes good on your tongue. I never ate one, I don't know. Here's a better example. In the moment, it might feel good to speak Lashon Hara. You feel vindictive, you feel vengeful, you feel like you have something above that person. That's the Ushar Aveira Kenegat Havseda. The loss of the veir is you're going to Gehenim, not you and me, whoever speaks that Lashon Hara. So that's a problem. So you have to consider, bo cheshbon, al kein yamru ha-moshlim. Therefore, those who are able to rule over their yetzer, say bo cheshbon, let's count to cheshbon. Bo nechafeshev cheshbonu she'olam, let's make calculations of the world. Hafseid mitzvah keneged schar, uschar veir keneged seida. We have to weigh out the loss that comes from fulfilling a mitzvah, sending your children to yeshiva, for example. It costs a lot of money. Keneged schara, but what's the reward? The reward is Torah is being learned. The reward is the continuation of Yahadus. The reward is inculcating our children with Torah and mitzvahs. Uschar veir keneged seida. Think on the other hand of what is the reward of an aveira, monetary, physical reward. It's very nice. Keneged seida, what are you losing? Continues the pasuk, tibaneh v'tikonein. Anything bolded is the pasuk in the chumash. I made it easy for you. Let it be built and established. Im ata osei kein, if you are one who can conquer your yetzer, rule moshel b'yitzro. And you make these chashbonos, whoops, I almost lost Gemara, and you make these chashbonos, meaning, do I really want to do this mitzvah? What do I lose if I don't do the mitzvah? What do I gain if I do the mitzvah? Do I really want to do this aveira? What do I gain if I do the aveira? What do I lose if I do the aveira? Tibaneh, the tikonein, let it be built and established. Im ata osokein, if you do so, what does it mean? Tibaneh, if you do so. Second, where am I up to? I mean, one second. Im ata osokein, if you do so, tibaneh ba'olam hazo, the tikonein le'olam haba. If you do so, you will be built in this world, meaning if you make chashbonos before you act, is this something I really want to do? Is this what Hashem wants me to do? Tibanim ba'olam hazeh, we will be built in this world. V'tikonin olam haba, you will be established in the next world. Continues the pasuk, ir sichon. That's what I told you, you have to look in the pasukim. What the Gemara is doing is expanding upon each. Look in the pasuk for a minute. Look in pasuk of Zayin. Al kein, look in pasuk of Zayin. Yomru, therefore, al kein, therefore, yomru hamoshlim. Look in the chumash. Those who are Moshe Berucha, Moshe B'Yitzra will say, Bo Cheshbon, let us make a careful calculation before we do a mitzvah and an aveira. Tibana V'Tikonein, if you do this, says the Gemara, you will be built and established, built in this world and established in the next world. Ir Sichon, continues the pasuk, Ir Sichon, look in the side of the Gemara now. Imesim Adam Atzmo Ka'ayarza Shemahaleich Achar Sicha Na'a. Okay, if a person makes himself, ready, what does that mean? Act like a foal, F-O-A-L, a baby horse. If a person makes himself act like a baby foal, F-O-A-L, shemahalech achar sichana, who goes after pleasant speech. What does that mean? If a person makes himself like a baby foal, who goes after pleasant speech? Artskofa, no. The words Yir Sichon are expounded as a fall, F-O-A-L, a year, that follows gentle talk, Sichon. What does this mean? One second. It means he allows himself to be easily persuaded by the sweet talk of his evil inclination. Just like a baby horse, a foal will follow after gentle speech. This refers to a person who makes himself like a baby foal who follows after gentle speech. He allows himself to be persuaded by the sweet talk of his evil inclination. So we have to make sure not to be that person. What does it then say? Ki esh yatsa mechashbon. A fire went out from Cheshbon. That's the next words in the Chumash. I'm trying, I hope I'm having siyata d'shmaya, to make this whole passage very clear. One second. I need it. Is this clear? Does everyone know what we're talking about? I'm reading, I'm explaining. We had Rashi's, we have commentary. This should be very clear. First, we did the Peshat of these Pesukim with Rashi's and Rav Soloveitchik. Understand this little history and military lesson about how Israel came to capture this territory. We're in the Golan Heights. Is that part clear? I mean, I can't see everybody, but that should be very clear because I explained it and explained it. Is it clear that people I could see? Yes? Okay. Now what we're doing is going to a drashic interpretation, not the pshat anymore, the Gemara. Is that clear? Right? Good. What the Gemara is doing is telling us a very homiletic interpretation of these psukim. Why? Because the kash of the Marashah, which I told you, is who needs this in the Chumash? Why is this here? Just tell me. Israel conquered the territory of the Amori from Sichon. Genug, Chayin, finish. What do I need to know? Well, Bilam and Baar, soothsayers, prophesied in some degree about what would happen between these two countries. Therefore, Chazal learned out it must be Hashem wants us to darshan these psukim. Because if we only look at the level of a pshat, it's not relevant to Kayashah. What's relevant to Klai shows that they captured the territory. Sichon was the king. He dwelled in Cheshbon. He was the owner of, he was the king of Amori. And they took it previously from Moab. Very nice to end. The fact that it includes his mashal, about this war, means, says the Gemara, we have to expand upon it in a drashic interpretation. It can't be it's only the pshah, otherwise it would not be included. Does everyone understand that? Yes. I'm going to take Rivka Engelson's and Irene. Yeah, okay, good. So now, let's look again. Pasuk of Zayin. Al Kain Yamru HaMoshin. Look in the Chumash before we go to Pasuk of Ches in the Gemara. Therefore, the rulers of their Yetzar Hara say, Ba'u Cheshbon. You better make a calculation, Cheshbonus, before you do a mitzvah or sin. Think about the loss of a mitzvah. Oy, kosher meat is so expensive. Do I really want to buy kosher meat? Make a Cheshbon. The loss of the mitzvah. Kenega the schar. What's the schar of keeping kosher meat? And think about the reward of an Avera. It's so easy to spend less money. It's so easy to talk Lashon Hara. It's so easy, I don't know, fill in the blanks. Regarding opposite, it's reward, it's punishment for doing an Avera. Tibana v'tikonein. If you think like this and conquer your Yetzer, you will be built in this world. V'tikonein, you will be established in the next world. Ir Sichon. Don't be like the fall, Ayir, F-O-A-L. Who is persuaded easily after gentle speech, i.e. don't be the person who runs after their Yetzer Hara. Now the Gemara is going to continue. What time is it? Oh my gosh. Now the Gemara is going to continue about Pasuk of Ches. Okay? So now we're going to, that was Pasuk of Zion according to the Gemara. Now the Gemara continues. Ki Eish Yatza Micheshbon. That's the next words in the Chumash. I don't think anyone is struggling because nobody posts on the chat that they don't know what's going on. And if you much don't know what's going on, I don't have time to teach the whole thing again. My recommendation is going to be go back and listen to the shir on the recording after it's posted because I really hope that I'm making this very clear. I'm trying very hard to make it. I know it's new information. Yes, maybe it would be easier to learn about May Mariva. Maybe it would be easier to learn about Aaron's death and Kol Beis Isha. Maybe it would be easier to learn about Mises Miriam and the bear that disappeared. Okay, it's brand new. So Baruch Hashem, there are parts of Torah that we've never learned before. Let's learn them. Ki Eish Yatza Micheshbon. A fire came out from Cheshbon. This is still part of Bilam and Baar, his father's soothsaying, incantation, seer, S-E-E-R, about this war. So the Gemara continues, a fire went out from Cheshbon. I just have to find where I'm up to in my Gemara. Teitzei Eish mi mechashvin. A fire will come forth. Teitzei Eish mi mechashvin. A fire will come forth from those who do make an accounting, meaning the tzaddikim. Artscroll parentheses, that means the tzaddikim.
A fire will come forth from those who do make an accounting before they act, i.e. the righteous. V'sochal eshe inon mechashvin. And it will consume those, the Rasha'im, who do not make a calculation. So ultimately the tzaddikim will be victorious. Those who make a chashbon before they act, those who think carefully before they act, will consume those who do not make the chashbon, who do not think carefully before they act. Continues the pasuk, V'lahava mikirya sichon, a flame from the region of Sichon, says the Gemara, mikiryas tzadikim shenikru tzichon. Sichin, mikiryas tzadikim shenikru sichin. Mikiryas tzadikim shenikru sichin, says the Gemara. The flame will emerge from the city of the righteous, who are called trees. Sin yud chas means plants in Chumash. I've spoken about that many times. So it's a play on words. Sichon, sichin. Sichon is the region, is the king actually. Sichin are plants. Called Siach Hasada Termia Ba'aretz, Bereishis 2:5. Siach is plants. A fire will go forth and consume from the righteous who do make cheshbonos, who think before they speak, who eat kosher, who learn Torah, who make time for the Ribon Shel Olam, who conquer and rule over their Yetzer Hara. The fire will go forth from the tzaddikim and consume those who do not think before they speak, who are sinners, who do not calculate or make calculations before their brothers Hashem. A fire will go out from the tzaddikim who are called sichin, who are called plants, tzaddik katamar yifrach. You know, tzaddik is compared to a plant. So the righteous will consume, ultimately, the righteous who make cheshbonos will consume the wicked who do not make cheshbonos. Continues the Gemara. Achla ar Moav. Continues the pasuk. It will consume ar of Moav. Says the Gemara. Zaha mahalech achar Yitro. This is one who goes after Yetzer Hara. Instead of saying, I'm not going to watch a movie, I'm not going to talk Lashon Hara, I'm not going to wear the miniskirt, I'm not going to compromise on kashrus. You could do that. Or you could say, I'm going to go after my HR and do whatever I want. Achla Er Moav. It consumed the air of Moav, not A-I-R, Ayin Reish. Zaha Mahalech Achar Yitro. This is like one who goes after his evil inclination. Ka'ayar Zesh Mahalech Achar Sichona. Like this fool, F-O-A-L, who goes after pleasing speech. Continues the pasuk, Ba'alei Bamos Arnon. Everything in bold is in the pasuk. Everything not in bold is the commentary of Gemara on the pasuk. Ba'alei, again, if you're not following, first of all, I'm really sorry, I don't know why. I hope I'm not doing a bad job. And secondly, go back and listen to the recording because I'm really trying to make this very clear. But, in other words, the first half of the shiur is the pshat. What do these psukim mean? What's the Rashi? What's happening? What year are we in? What's the territory we're conquering? Which kings are fighting with who? Who said this mashal? The second half of the shiur is the drashic interpretation of the Gemara into what these psukim mean for all of us. Do you understand the Gemara is talking to all of us? These psukim are talking to us. Don't be the person who gives into your Yetzer Hara. Be the person who rules over their Yetzer Hara. Don't be the person who acts without thinking. Be the person who thinks before they act. Don't be like the fool who walks after gentle speech. Don't be so easily persuaded. Don't be the person who the fire will lick you up. It's referring to the fires of Gehenna. Make sure you're the person who will be in Banevati Konein. L'olam haza, ul'olam haba. Continues the pasuk in our sadra. Ba'alei bamos arnon. What does this mean? Elu gasei haruach. These are referring to those of haughty spirit. Haughty people. Elu gasei haruach. How does it translate by Eretzko? Haughty spirit, yeah. The amar mar. For the master has said. What did the master say about those who are of haughty spirit? Kol adam sheyesh bo gasus haruach nofel begehenem. Ba'alei bamos Arnon, those who dwell on the heights of Arnon, says the Gemara. These are talking about those who are haughty spirit. Gasus or ruach is one of the causes of lashon hara. The Gemara tells us that explicitly in Erechin. Someone who has a haughty spirit always looks down on somebody else. Someone who has a haughty spirit is prone to speaking lashon hara. I'm not telling you that. The Gemara tells us that in Erechin. Someone who has a haughty spirit is always jealous of others. Someone who has a haughty spirit thinks he never has enough. Everything's coming to me. Korach, excuse me. Okay. For an example, so this is talking to us. The drashic interpretation is how we choose to live our lives. The drashic interpretation is how we choose to be Ovdei Hashem. The drashic interpretation is the midos we choose to inculcate into ourselves. And if we rule over our Yetzirah, or if our Yetzirah rules over us. Therefore, as the Gemara continues, when the Pasuk says, Ba'ali Bamos Arnon, it is Pasuk, the last words of Pasuk of Ches, on the heights of Bamos Arnon, these are those who are Gasos Ruach. Gasos or Ruach is the root of many, many sins. Bein Adam Chaveru and Bein Adam Makom. To Amar Mar, like Mar says, Ka Adam Sheish Bo Gasos Ruach Nofel Begehenim. Whoever has Gasos Ruach is going to go into Gehenim. Why is he going to fall into Gehenim? You're going to go from the heights of this world, because you're going to be a person full of sin. You're always going to be jealous about other people. It's coming to me. They should have such success. I should have such success. That's what Gasos Ruach will lead. It's going to cause you to think you know better than God, or such people. And what he gave you is not correct, because I know better. So to cause you to speak Lashon Hara, the Gemara tells us that it's a fact, the Maseches Erechin, nothing is ever going to be good enough for you, and no one's ever going to be good enough for you. If you know, unfortunately, people like this, the most extreme is the narcissistic personality. A Gasos Ruach person is going to fall into Gehenim, says the Gemara. Then Niram, the Pasuk continues. So that, now the Gemara just expanded upon Pasuk Chav Ches. Remember when we, right before we did the Gemara, I told you skip to Pasuk Lamed, because now Gemara continues in Pasuk Lamed. Vaniram, the Gemara continues now expanding upon Pasuk Lamed. This is the prophecy, the seer, the mashal, the soothsaying of Bilam and his father, Ba'ar, that they, I'm using the word prophecy very loosely, about the battle of Sihon. They foretold what would happen. Sihon Melech Amor would win territory from Moab. But the mashal says, what is this doing here? So the Gemara therefore tells you, Rasha says that's why the Gemara expands upon this. Because the Gemara realizes that there has to be a very drashic interpretation. Otherwise these psukim may not be included in the Chumash only if there wasn't a drashic interpretation. The drashic interpretation is about all of us. How do we choose to live our lives? What kind of people do we want to be? Which camp do we want to be in? Do we want to be built and established in this world and the next world? Do we want to be a Moshe Berucho? Do we want to be on that on the Gasos Ruach? Do we want to be the flame that lick up the wicked, the flame of Torah, the light and warmth of Torah that lick up the wicked? Or, Rahman al-Son, do we want to be the wicked that's licked up by the flame and light of the righteous? Vaniram, continues the Pasuk, Pasuk Lamed, Vaniram. Amar Rasha, Ein Ram. What is Vaniram? The Rasha says, Ein Ram. Ram is referring to God. Vaniram means the wicked says there's no God. Chas v'sham, Vaniram. Vaniram, Ein Ram. There's no one on high. I could do whatever I want. There's no God telling me what to do. Avad cheshbon. The next words in Pasuk Lamed. Vaniram. There's no God. Avad cheshbon. Avad cheshbono sha'olam. An accounting of the world has been lost. There's no God. There's no one making an accounting. There's no ayin roa, ozen shamas, v'chol masecha b'sefer nechtavim. Don't worry so much. Do whatever you want. Vaniram, Ein Ram, there's no God. Avar Cheshbon, the Cheshbon of Sha'olam has been lost. Who needs to bother to make an accounting? No one's watching what you do. Continues the Pasuk, Lamed, Ad Divon, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hamtein Ad Sheyavo Din V'Nashim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you think there's no God? You think there's no one who's making an accounting of your actions? Just wait, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wait until the day of judgment comes. Hamtein Ad Sheyavo Din. Wait until Din comes. Oh, I made a mistake. Menashim is the next. Should be bolded. If you printed this, Menashim should be bolded. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Hamtein Ad Sheyavo Din. Kosh Baruch says, Ad Divon. So now let's look at Pasuk Lam, but in the Chumash, please. Van Niram Ein Ram. The wicked says, there's no one on high, meaning there's no God. Avad cheshbon, there's no one making an accounting of my deeds. There's no cheshbon sha'olam, there's no accounter of the world. Really, says Hashem, ad divon, just wait until yavo din, until judgment comes against you. How does the pasuk continue? V'nashim ad nofach, which literally means we laid waste until nofach, says the Gemara. Ad shetavo eish she'ena tzricha nipuach. The Gemara says, what does this mean? Until the fire comes that needs no fanning. The fire will come that needs no fanning. Says the Art School footnote, Eish is fire, Nofach is Nafiach, fanning. A fire will come. You know, if you fan the fire, it increases the fire. Oxygen causes the fire to increase. But the fire against the Rasha'im will be so strong, it won't even need any fanning. Hashem says, you think you can do whatever you want? You think you don't have to rule over your Yetzirah? You think there's no God? You think there's no one making cheshbonos from the world? Wait until the fire comes, the Ish that does not need any fanning. Meaning it's going to be so hot, it's going to be so powerful against the wicked, doesn't even need any fanning to grow. What are the next words in the Pasuk? Pasuk Lamed, Ad Medeva, Ad Shetadiv Nishmasan. Until their souls will be lost, until it agonizes. Their souls will be lost through agony. The souls of who? The wicked. Continues the Gemara, V'imrile, and others say, Ad Da'avid Ma'idivai. God will allow the fire to rage against the wicked until he has done what he wants against them in the world to come. That is the metaphoric, homiletic, drashic interpretation of these three psukim, Chavzayin, Chavchas, and Lamed. It is not only referring to a battle that Moshe led the Bnei Yisrael in against Sichon Melech Amori, who captured Cheshbon from Moab, and then ultimately he would capture the territory from Og Melech HaBashan. Which territory, what region are we talking about? Says the Rav, the Golan Heights. Where we're fighting today, where our boys fight today, that's where they were fighting. Says the Rav, the enemy is the same, whether it was Sichon or Og, or whether it is Arafat, Yimach Shemo, the enemy is the same. Second half of this year. What do these psukim have to do with me? If they're included in the Torah, they must have some message to me. But what's the message to me? Why do I need to know this? You need to know this because it's talking about the life I choose to lead as Evan Hashem. It's talking about the life that I choose to lead. Do I make cheshbonos? Do I think before I speak? Do I calculate carefully before I buy clothing and dress? Am I makbid on kashrus even when I'm on vacation in other places? Do I think before I post something on WhatsApp for everybody to see? Do I make calculations in how I live my life? Am I the Moshel over my Rucho, or is my Rucho Moshel over me? Do I say, God forbid, there is no God, there's no one making cheshbonos, I can do whatever I want? Or do I understand that the day of fire will come and it will be so strong? We're talking about Gehenna. We were at last Pesach. We were by the Chamei Tveria. The Chamei Tveria are 1/60th the heat of Gehenna. I think about that often. The Chamei Tveria are so hot, you cannot even put your hand in them. Natural water coming out of the ground. It's incredible. If you've never been, I highly recommend on your next trip to Eretz Yisrael, do a day in the north and go to the Chamei Tveria. It's Mamish Nisim V'Niflaus. You can't even leave your hand in it. You can't even put your hand in it. That's 1/60th, our tour guide told us, Rabbi Zevlov Sanana, actually. I didn't know until the very end of the day on the bus ride home. It is Rabbi Zevlov Sanana. You can't even put your hand in it so hot. And the Chazal say that is the 1/60th of the fires of Gehenna. The flames are so hot, the Gemara says, they don't even need any fanning. Do you want to be Tibana V'Tikonein, built and established in this road on the next? Or do you want the fire that emanates from the Tzadikim, the Torah and the warmth of Torah, to burn us up, chas v'shalom? The Gemara just continues what you see on the next screen, on the next part of the Gemara. So we finish expanding upon these two psukim, chav zayin, chav ches al na'amit, amar Rav Yehuda, amar Rav, kol ha'poresh midivrei Torah eish ochalto. Whoever separates himself from divrei Torah, a fire consumes him. If we do not immerse ourselves in a life of Torah, the natural consequence will be we will not be able to conquer a Yetzer Hara. Someone who does not learn Torah, someone who is not connected to Musar, someone who is not connected to Ribbono Shel Olam, someone who does not keep his neshama going, we all know the mashal of the moving escalator. You're going to automatically be going down. It's not possible to be going up. So naturally, the fires will consume you because you're going to forget Torah. You're going to get to Zer Ribbono Shel Olam. You're going to start doing whatever you want. Learning Torah is the greatest Musar, the greatest Tochacha, the greatest Halacha, the greatest Chizuk. And if you don't learn Torah, the fires will consume you. Kol ha'poresh atzmo medivrei Torah nofel b'gehenem. Furthermore, the Gemara says, whoever separates himself from Torah is going to fall into Gehenem. Okay. I'm going to end with, you know how many svarim I have, sources I have that I want? I can't believe how much I prepared. I don't know what I was thinking. I promise I have 6 other svarim I want to quote from. Like, I'm literally, like, Hashem knows, Midrash HaKetecha, they're sitting right here. I don't know. I would need 3 hours to teach everything that I prepared for tonight's shiur. Okay, fine. wasn't meant to be. I just want to end with an interesting thought that I hear Rabbi Zev Lef say. By the way, many expound upon this Gemara in a very hashkafic sense and taking different approaches. Rabbi Dr. Tversky has his approach. Rabbi Shalom Rosner has his approach. Alina Shabeach of Yitzhak Zilberstein Shlita has his approach. Called Dodi Rav David Feinstein. There's many different approaches to this. I wanted to quote from all of them. Obviously, I was not calculating my time properly when I prepared for Shir. But Rabbi Zev Lef points out something very interesting. The whole beginning of Chukas is filled with mitzvahs and narratives that are mysteries. Chok is something we don't understand. The whole beginning of Chukas is filled with things that are mysteries. Why Paraduma? It's the classic Chok. Even Shlomo Melech, Hashem is preparing Shir, even Shlomo Melech in Kohalas, there's a pasuk that the Chazal say in Kohalas means that Shlomo Melech understood everything except Paraduma. The smartest man did not understand Paraduma. So we for sure don't understand Paraduma. Paraduma we don't understand. Why couldn't Miriam go into Eretz Yisrael? She was the only woman from the entire generation. Do you know that? All the women went into Eretz Yisrael except for Miriam. Why couldn't Miriam go in? You want to say it was for a Lashon Hara, she spoke about Moshe. She was punished for that. The Torah never says it's because of that. The Torah just said she died. Why did she die? Moshe made a mistake. He led the people 40 years. He was totally Moser Nefesh. Why couldn't he go into Eretz Yisrael? Why couldn't Aaron go into Eretz Yisrael? Why did Amalek attack us in Perech Aviv? Why did our own brothers, Edom, Eshav, not allow us to pass through their land? Why are enemies always fighting against us, whether it's Sichon or Amalek? Why? The whole Parshas Chukas is questions. The whole Parshas Chukas doesn't make any sense. The whole Parshas Chukas is things we don't understand and things we can't control. Zok Rabbi Zev Lef, there's only one thing you can control, your own self. Ba'u v'naso chashbono shel olam. Ba'u chashbon. You can only control yourself. It's in Parshas Ekev. The only thing we can control is our own behavior, our own choices, our own mitzvahs, our own cheshbonos. So much in this world is hidden from us, Parshas Chukas. The only thing you can do is control yourself. Al Kain, and therefore the tzaddik says, Yamu HaMoshlim, say those who are Moshe Berucha, Bo Cheshbon, I better think before I act. If I want to be built and established in this world and the next, Yersichon, don't be like the fool who goes after gentle words, i.e. don't be persuaded after Yetzer Hara. Ki Eish Yatza Michashbon, because those who make Cheshbonos, those who calculate and think, a fire goes out from them. Lahava Mikir Yersichon, it will lick up, that fire will lick up those who go like the fool running after the Yetzer Hara. Achla Ar Moav, it will consume, I forgot what the Gemara says, and I don't have time to really go through this whole thing. Achla Ar Moav. These are those who go after the inclination like a fool that goes after nice speech. Ba'alei Bamos, those are the haughty spirit. Remember, Ba'alei Bamos are known. Those who are Gassos or Ruach. The Gemara says, you know where the Gassos or Ruach are going to? Gehenem. V'niram, those who say, Ein Ram, there's no God. Avad Cheshbon, there's no one making Cheshbonos of the world. Ad Divon, until, what does Ad Divon mean? Oh yeah, until judgment comes, remember? Until Ad Din, until judgment will come. V'nashum Adofach, Asher Ad Mei Mediva. There will be a fire that needs no fanning until it agonizes their soul. Rabbi Zev Lef says the parsha ends like this because the whole parsha is about things we don't understand and things we can't control. We can't control Amalek's hatred. We can't control Miriam's death. Why Paraduma? Why couldn't Moshe go into Eretz Yisrael? Why didn't Esav and Edom let us go through their land? The only thing we control is Ba'u V'nasa Cheshbonu Sha'olam. Be the one who is Moshe Beruchal, because that is the only path to being a Torah Yid. Can I control all the externals, all the chukim of life, all the mysteries that don't make any sense? No. But you can control if you will be built and established in this world and the next. You can control if you'll be like the fool who runs after gentle speech, or the one whose flames of Torah are so beautiful that ultimately it is the Torah and the fire and the light of Avodas Hashem that will consume the Rishayim La'asidava. It's my fervent hope and tefillah that everyone learned something new tonight. If you didn't understand it for some reason, chas v'shalom, please go back and listen to the recording. First of all, you can go back to this recording if you just want to review. I think I explained it clearly. I hope I explained it clearly. Taras Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nefesh. Edus Hashem Ne'mana Machkimas Pesi. Thank you so much, everybody. I wish you a gewaldic week, a beautiful week. Oh, next week is July. July is 5 classes. It's the opposite of Tuesday morning. Monday night, please listen. It's 5 July and 4 August. Tuesday morning will be 4 July and 5 August. July is 5 classes at $60. Please, I look forward to continuing our learning Be'ezer Hashem. Thank you so much. Laila Tov and Shavua Tov to all. Kol Tov and thank you.